going to take a two-minute detour here. We're right in the middle of a solar conversation. The lines are full. We're going to get our callers connected with Sun Valley Solar Solutions, our guest in this hour. But real quick, last hour we were talking about the massive amount of tree damage, and our insurance guy, Clay Jansen, he's in the next building. He's in his office. I said, let me steal you for 2 minutes, because John Eisenhower had a very interesting point about reading what your policy said. He says he's come to homes where the insurance says, well, we'll cover $500 deductible. He said some of these trees, the equipment you have to use, and they're so big and so heavy, it could be a $10,000 bill ripping out a large tree from your backyard and craning it over your home. And most people aren't expecting that. Well, I've got insurance for that. Now I've suddenly got a $9,500 bill I've got to figure out to remove this dead tree. So that, Clay, what should people look for in their insurance coverage as it relates to tree and storm damage? Because there was a little bit of that this last week.
Oh my gosh, there was definitely a little bit of that. I was just leaving my neighborhood this morning and I saw another neighbor with a tree down. But John's absolutely right. So reaching out to your insurance company or your agent, first and foremost, get a copy of that policy. Often I tell people, if you can get an electronic copy of the policy, it makes it really easy to read on a computer. You can word search. You can look up the word tree and find exactly where that coverage is. But John's right. A lot of policies will only cover about $500 to $1,000 for the tree to be removed. Now, keep in mind, they're going to cover the damage, right? Because the policy is going to step in. They're going to cover things like damage to your home, damage to your contents, damage to other structures like a block wall that might be attached to the house. And then they'll definitely remove the tree if there's damage. But if there's no damage to the house, John's right, it might be only $500 to $1,000. So the key is finding out in your insurance policy, talk to your agent, look at your policy, look for words like tree or tree damage in there, and find out if the whole tree will be removed at the insurance company's cost, if there's damage or not. If there's no damage to the home or other structures, that's where John from Integrity is right. It might only be a $500 or $1,000 limit on the coverage.
Clay Jansen of Focus Insurance. We appreciate it, sir.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great day.
Our number real quick if somebody needed a good agent.
You bet. 602-955-7705. And that's Focus Insurance. You can also find us online at focusinsurance.com.
Thank you, Clay. We appreciate it. They've been covering our insurance back to when his dad...
They've had the same.
The company,
they've had the same phone
and
number.
And wrote your first insurance policy.
Since they wrote the first policy for me back in 1970. Well, I got married in 78, so I think the policy was in 1977. All right, we're here with Kyle and Bobby from Sun Valley Solar Solutions. Hey, you guys had a nice article in the Arizona Republic here a couple weeks ago, featured in the role batteries can play in offsetting the electric.
Well,
confusing.
Well, there's
for a simple guy like me, this is confusing.
Yeah, well, so batteries are a really hot topic.
They
right
are.
Now. And part of that is that there's some really good incentive programs out there. SRP is currently offering a rebate on batteries. So it's a first come, first serve. I think they're going to do 4,500 of them. And it's up to about $1,800. Depends on the size of the battery, but that sparked a lot of people to
take a second look,
at batteries. And then also the government announced that they will let the solar tax credit also apply to the batteries. So the 30% solar tax credit that goes through 2019 can also be applied to batteries, so long as the battery is 100% filled by solar energy. So when you add the rebate and the tax credit together, batteries become a lot more affordable. So everybody's talking about batteries right now, and the Republic asked us to help get the word out. So we went ahead and participated in that story.
Well, let's stay on that topic a little bit. But Peter, who we were trying to get on air a minute ago, has called back in. Let's get to him, reward him for his tenacity to get in. And I think he wants to talk similar. He wants to get looks like he wants to get off the grid. Peter?
Yeah, hi there.
Okay, man. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just don't like what TEP down here in Tucson is doing to us. And I had solar on a previous house, and it was grandfathered, so it was good. But then when I saw the rate changes and everything, it just didn't seem worth it. And I was thinking, how about if I just supplement the house by going halfway off grid by using a transfer switch like I would with a generator when I lived in the country, and just half the day, switch it over a certain circuits to the solar, and maybe have a battery backup as well. And yeah, just wondering how hard, you know, would it be, and how much would TEP get involved with that? Would I have to go through the same mess of, you know, the permitting and everything? Because last time I put a transfer switch on a house, I didn't have to do any permitting. But
all right,
I'm a hobbyist.
Bobby, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. I'll take a stab at it. If you're interacting with their grid, you'll have to work with TEP. If it's a true off-grid application, think of it just like a generator. You don't have to call the electric company to plug a generator in and use it at your house. Once you tie it to your meter or tie it to your electric panel, they have to know about it because there's a potential of backfeed at that point, which could endanger their workers at some point if they assume the grid's out and you're feeding power back into their grid when they think it's down. So that would be the answer to that. What was the other part of the question?
Peter?
No, I was saying, so if I use a break before make transfer switch, like for a generator, and still go into my panel and move some of the circuits over to that so that I can switch over when I want to, it wouldn't feed back to their wouldn't feed back to them.
It's got to do with the potential to. So if it's truly completely separate from the meter, then you don't have to ask them about it at all. You can just do it. If there's any potentiality that it can feed into your main, then you do have to work with them. So a local integrator, whether it's us or whether it's somebody there in Tucson that maybe did the other system, they'll be able to kind of look at what your goals are. My father-in-law, for example, he lives in Chino. He's got exactly what you're describing. He's got a situation where he runs a business out of his home, and he loses power. It's above ground utility there, and he loses it probably 6-7 times a year. And when he does, he just goes outside and transfers it all over into a dedicated loads panel. Now, he had to go through the utility for that because those batteries do have the potential to offset cost of the power that, you know, he's getting from them. So it's feeding back into the grid at sometimes. If he's set up the loads panel where all the batteries did was charge, feed a dedicated loads panel and didn't touch the main panel, then he wouldn't have had to work with the utility on that.
Okay, so there you go. Peter, I hope that answers your question. So let's take it back to the more common where everybody is on the grid and now they're plugged in. They've got the various buyback plans. SRP's got the dedicated plan. APS has the rate case coming up for review. TEP has its own deal. I guess Unisource probably has its deal as well. What role in all of that? I get a lot of phone calls at the office say, like the call we got earlier, Rosie, I signed the contract in March. It didn't get installed till December, and I'm still not seeing any savings. You know, they haven't had the time to see the rate applied. And I said, well, are you on the budget plan? You know, that impacts everything as well.
There are so many variables. The most important thing to understand that is a solar energy system is a push-pull system with the grid. So you're pulling from the grid at some times. You're pushing to the grid at other times. You're using 100% of your energy that you're making at some times. Sometimes you're buying energy from the utility. And that mix is different for every single home and every single homeowner because everybody has unique usage patterns. So, for example, the scenario that you just described, I really wouldn't be able to answer that question clearly unless I sat down with the person and said, okay, let's look at how you're using and how you're pushing back and when those things are happening. Generally speaking, we usually encourage people if they want to get maximum savings by summer to look at installing in fall or winter. Because you have the most opportunity to overpush, to push energy back to the grid, overproduce, and build credits that you can use by summer if your AC isn't running.
Right.
So, you know, people tend to assume that the best time to install solar is when their bills are high. And look, that's true. There's no bad time to install solar. But if you want to have maximum savings when your bills are most painful, do it early so that you've banked some credits by the time the weather gets hot.
We had one homeowner called aggravated that his bills hadn't gone down. And when they get solar, sometimes they think, well, this is free electricity. At this home, he went from consuming historically over the last 10 years of summers about 3,200 KW. Right. He was like exceeding 8,000.
Right.
It's solar.
I got solar. I can juice it up.
It happens a lot. And we do our best as integrators to educate before we make a responsible sale that we're basing these numbers on your historic use. So tell us if you think you're going to use more. It's totally fine, because I'll tell you, the hidden luxury to solar, to alternate energy period, and I never even really thought about it, even though I've been in the industry for years, until I had it on my house, and we keep our thermostat at about 74 all summer long, and our bills are very, very low if existing. And there's, you got to figure out for yourself, what monetary value, if any, do I attach to that?
Right.
A lot of us have swimming pools. Well, what's the return on investment on your swimming pool? It's ongoing electricity to run the motor. It's ongoing money for the chemicals. You're quantifying or qualifying what that pool means to you to spend that money
right.
on it. Well, of course, we all want a return on investment from solar, of course. And that's a responsible thing to do, of course. But there's other things people just sometimes don't think about. But they do say, hey, I got solar. I should be able to just do everything I want all the time, like supercharge my new electric car.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you got to size the system accordingly. So if you add more power use, you might need to add some more panels.
Okay, so the role of batteries. We're going to start attaching batteries to these homes. What role are they playing in the entire management of the power consumption through the course? I mean, when you're trying to regulate your peak demand, aren't the batteries a built-in insurance plan to kind of buffer you?
Yes and no. And
okay.
Sorry to be so vague, but it depends almost 100% on the utility rates structure.
Okay.
So, for example, right here in the Valley, the two big players are SRP and APS, right?
Right.
Well, they've got very different plans. So APS is on peak time now for everybody that's got an on-peak schedule. It's 5 hours long, residentially we're
right.
talking, which is from
three to eight.
Well, SRP's is from 1 to 8. So it's 7 hours versus 5.
Right.
That is a pretty big difference, 2 hours a time. That means at least one more battery. If it's whatever brand name it is, you're going to need at least one more. Well, now you just added a fair amount of money more to achieve the same goal in that utility versus that one. Utility rate structure and your personal objectives. It's not a one-size-fits-all with batteries. Some batteries, due to programming, it could be the exact same technology, lithium-ion battery, but the supporting equipment that comes with that battery could be programmable to be better for backup with this particular battery system, and better for what we call demand suppression or peak shaving with that particular battery system. So do your research there, because not all battery systems are created equal.
All right. Well, there's some new incentives to entertain the idea of batteries. I want to come back and cover them one more time. If I'm on the cusp of getting ready to commit to a solar system, to buy into the guaranteed rate between now and August 22nd? Is that what I heard?
We'd like to have all the paperwork done by August 24th in order to feel confident that we can get it in and get it in under the wire. So really, people need to be calling us now.
480-689-5000. 689-5000. Sun Valley Solar Solutions.